So all of this comes together. Joseph's brothers, you know, Judah being the line of Jesus. Jesus' sacrifice, the fact that we come from a place ourselves where we were one thing and we're another, comes to emphasize that on this earth we have a job. As Christians, we follow Christ, but when we come to know Jesus and the salvation bridge that God made for us, we begin to experience the inner transformation of the blood. This creates testimonies that can be used by God to set the captives free. The thing is, too, it becomes a testimony to the people around us. People see us one way, and then they see us, you know, transitioning to another only by the blood of Christ. However, the world has shunned the cross. They don't understand the transformation of Christ, and they believe they're happy choosing to live in a spiritual desert. But the problem with the spiritual desert is there's no water. Just those hallucinations. God has so many ways that he wants to use us to unveil people's eyes. And the thing is, we're a lot like a lampstand in the dark world. And there's Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. I forgot to delete that one. So it pretty much talks about how we're a light stand and that, you know, a city on the hill can't be hidden and all that. If people are on a dark road and we do not, with God's guidance, guide them to him, how will they know him? I think Romans 10:14 was the last one on there, I think. Yeah. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How are people going to know if we, you know, if they don't know? Not just hearing about him, but understanding that he is the only truth. The thing is, like, a lot of the time what happens is when we deal with these destructive emotions and we let them sit on that throne, we get distracted from this. We could be standing in a room and God could be trying to nudge us towards something. There's a person over there, I want you to go talk to them, and we're too in our emotions to listen. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. It's important for us to not allow these emotions to sit on that choice throne, to take them off that throne and make sure God is sitting there. And the thing is, it's easier said than done. In many ways, for a lot of us, well, for probably all of us, it's a continuous process. Because the thing is, we're never going to be perfect, but we have him. He's going to bring us through. But feel like the more days go on, the more the urgency for us to listen to God and surrender ourselves to him grows. Because once Jesus comes back, that's the end. And there are a lot of people that we know who don't know him. And it's important that we heed those warnings. Because just because that's been said so many times doesn't mean that, you know, tuning it out is okay. Not like I tune it out, unfortunately, sometimes, but I know God really pinpointed Jeremiah to me. Jeremiah warns the Israelites of this incoming judgment, and they don't heed him. But the thing is, just because they don't heed him doesn't mean the day doesn't come. And I'm not saying we're not heeding. I'm just saying that we need to remember why we're here. And remember the purpose and the plans that God has for us. He doesn't just whisk us away up to heaven when we come to know him. Okay. The thing is, as well, this is not meant to make anyone feel condemned, shamed, pressured, or frustrated. Hopefully y'all are still with me. Sometimes my brain gets a little weird when I'm like, ah. Because at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. It's all about God, who desires a relationship with us, who wants to come and fill us with himself, who wants to come and use us for his glory. But some of us are clinging too much to how we feel, which is a really, really hard pill to swallow. Trust me, I get it. I've gone through the entirety of my life dealing with really strong, sensitive emotions. And when people tell me that, I want to do this. I don't want to hear you. So I understand. I get it. I keep losing my spot, man. next time I say anything, I'm going to have to word this, change this. Okay, here we go. Already said that. So God, the thing is, God is, however, the author of the process. And if you're hearing this and you're like, I want to change, but I'm really struggling, and, you know, I'm trying really hard, and I've prayed, but I just don't seem to be getting anywhere. The thing is, nothing is too big for God. As we draw closer to God, he brings us through the process of pruning things from us that aren't of him. But everything we go through is used for a purpose. Sometimes what happens if you're begging God to heal you and you don't see it, it might be because he's already bringing you through it and you just don't see it. Which I know I just repeated myself in a way. It's really hard to be in. When you see a problem and a desire to change, and God sees that, but either things are just moving too slow or slower than we'd like, which is what I meant, or we feel like we're doing something wrong. Side note, don't go by feelings. Just because you feel you're doing something wrong doesn't mean you are. So I'm almost done. I've rambled, and I'm sorry. I hope this made some sense. But I have one more story I want to tell. And I'm not going to tell the full story. I'm just going to tell a part of it. As I've mentioned, I have dealt with feeling issues my entire life. When I was a kid, I experienced very, very strong emotions. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I just keep forgetting I've mentioned some of this stuff already. When I was 18, I had this really crazy experience with God. And God started to change me on the inside out. Started to change me from that point onward, but it was a really slow process. And so a couple years ago, something happened. And God was kind of unveiling a little bit more just how toxic these emotions can be. And so being the person who hates hurting people I care about and hurting other people or just people in general, I got on my knees and I started begging God to help me. I was like, God, you need to take these emotions. Because the thing is, this is hurting people. This is causing pain where there doesn't need to be pain. I need you to take these. And that was my prayer for a while. God, take these emotions. Take these emotions. Take them, take them, take them. And nothing was happening. Don't you love it when God does that? Nothing happens and you keep asking him to change things. And we were at The Chosen with some friends. And I was sitting and I was watching this one scene. And all of a sudden, the spirit in me almost perked up. And it's almost like I knew that what I was watching, what was being said, was the response that I was being given. And the response I got was not yet. People need to witness things in you. People need to see what you're struggling with and see the emotions so that their own faith can be encouraged. I need to use you in this area, not yet. That's not the answer I wanted at all, but I kept with it. And the following few days, I heard the same thing mirrored from people, and it was almost like God was giving me confirmation that he needed to use me in that time. And so earlier this year, same thing. I was like, God, these emotions are driving me crazy. I do not like them. Help. And this time, there was a vision. I was like, oh, okay. Again, not the answer I wanted. Pretty much, I was standing before the throne, and I had a plate with the word emotions on it. And I was giving it to him, just like, take it. Take it from me. And God did not take the plate. He grabbed my arms and gave me the ability to carry it with him. Sometimes we want God to take this. Take this, God. Take this from me. But instead of taking it, he walks through the fire with us instead. And again, I hope this has made some sense and I'm not the whatever. But I hope this has made some sense. But here's the thing. Where we make our choices from matters a lot. What we allow to rule in our lives matters a lot. But the only way that God, that anything can change is literally just by coming to the altar. It doesn't have to be physical. It can be deep in here. But a surrendered heart is a heart that is willing to give God what he, and he takes and does work. And sometimes he like gives us peace. Sometimes he walks through it. But whatever we need in each season, he gives it to us. But yeah, I really felt like what he wanted, like addressed, was just asking people to reflect, what are you making your choices from? And are you willing to be open to what he has to say? And are you willing to potentially carry it, if you have to, with him as part of bearing a cross? But yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. How do I turn this thing on?
Before you hang up,
oh.
Would you pray for us?
Oh, okay. All right. Lord, first off, I pray that English was spoken today. I thank you, God, for the fact that you just love us, the fact that you sent your son to die on the cross for us. We didn't deserve that. We came from ashes. We go back to ashes, and yet you saw the beauty in those ashes. And Lord, I pray you would just come and do a work in our hearts, that you would come, God, and you would speak to hearts, Lord, and into minds, and that it would be your words and not our own. God, I pray if anyone here is dealing with a really hard situation right now where it feels like emotions are burying them, Lord, lift them up. Lift them up and encourage them and bring them what they need right now, God. If it means lifting that burden, then lift the burden. If it means walking through them in the fire, then walk through them. God, I thank you, and we appreciate you so much for the fact that you just love us so much. God, I pray that we would adhere to your voice, Lord, that we would walk in obedience, Lord, that we would do what you need us to do, God, even if our emotions are slapping us over the face. Thank you, God, for what you're doing, and I pray that you continue to do a work. Amen.